This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you Sally sons of bitches? I'm Heavy Metal.
I'm Maddie Studios.
And I'm the Ferret.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta, bitches.
Woo! So we're back here for another installment of insanity, because, as you know, folks, this is what we do and it's how we roll.
Because if I didn't do this every week, then I'd only have like four other fucking nights worth fucking week filled up. But I couldn't get on here and talk shit to you people.
Exactly. So I gotta say, guys, like, I didn't think the 20 ticket contest would generate much of a response. But so far there's probably about 30 to 50, I think it's probably more, it's probably 40 to 50 people that are doing it.
Do we really have that many? I mean, yeah. I know that it's got a lot of interest and that a lot of people are doing it. And the funny thing I hope everybody remembers, at this point, this is just bragging rights. We haven't figured out any prizes or anything.
Oh, but you know there's going to be.
Well, see, I don't know.
By the end of this, I'm sure it will be.
Because you know if there's a prize, I'm just be like, fuck it. And when I get done, I'm just going to fucking dump my credit card into my Moto account and be all, I got 8,000 tickets. Just so I can win whatever card it is that.
That would be deceitful and horrible. And I hope nobody's exactly. Doing
that. Oh, you know, Kevy's actually got the best strategy out of all of us so far.
Don't even do it.
Yeah, don't do anything yet.
No, I literally haven't done anything yet, but like on purpose, not just because I'm a lazy piece of shit. I kind of looked at it like I saw, you know, Ferret's doing his kind of direction with it, with playing, you know, player events and stuff like that. And Maddie, you know, you were pretty adamant about like, you know, it like grinding it out, incremental value, that kind of thing. And what I'm doing is I figure I've got 20 tickets. And this thing ends when fucking M15 comes out. So rather than just jump on it, like, I don't see anything right now that's particularly of interest. So I'm kind of kicking back. I'm just watching fucking Goldfish and just looking at cards. And I'm going to make my purchases a lot more, like, fewer and far between, but, like, more high-risk, high-reward kind of purchases, I think, and go that direction with
it. Yeah, I've learned a shit ton already. What I realize is a lot of people are specking certain things, but, I mean, the first thing is you have to generate – you only have 20 tickets. Well, you have 25 because you get five of the thing. But right. You only have – it's actually a very small amount of money to start. And I was like, well, I'm going to divide it so that half my money is long-term picks and half my money will be short-term picks, hopefully, because then I need to turn around money at least every week to keep investing. Otherwise, I'm dead.
That makes sense. And see, that was my thing too. I was going to do that like right off the bat, is just jump in and start specking on shit. But as I started looking, there was nothing that really like stood out as like a fucking sure thing fucking moneymaker. And so I was like, you know what? Rather than jump into this and be like, okay, well, I'm going to pick up these fucking second and third rate fucking picks that I might be able to grind a little bit of value out of, and just kind of kick back and wait and see what is trending, what's doing what, and try to jump on at those opportune times like we've talked about before, where, you know, like Ferret said, you know, you're watching a fucking event on the weekend and the next big deck comes out, go buy that card and then turn around and sell it 2 hours later when it fucking spikes up, and then be able to get a fucking get ahead. And I feel like if I can get ahead, you know, if I can get the account up to, you know, say 30, 40 tickets, then I can start. It's like you're supposed to do in Vegas, which I don't do. And like, oh, I'm ahead. I'm going to go put all the money that I started with back in my suitcase and then just play with my winnings. But I never do that. I go broke. But that's what I'm trying to do here, is be like, okay, if I can come up a little bit on a few good picks, then I can start, you know, doing risky shit and or just trying to grind out value with some of that stuff that I've already come up. So I figure if I jump in right away, you know, 2 weeks into this, I'm going to have zero tickets in my account and a bunch of fucking shitty bulk comments.
Yeah. Like, well, you know, the interesting thing about that, Kevy, is I went kind of the opposite way. I started doing the new player, four-player drafts. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, four-player drafts is a completely different ballpark than eight-player drafts. And took me till the third draft to figure out what the fuck I was doing and actually win. And luckily, what's nice about it is it only costs you one ticket to enter per time.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay for packs.
And then if you win both your matches and, you know, win the entire draft, then you get one pack. So if as long as you win one out of three times, you break even, and then you get the promo cards on top.
Oh, is that the new player drafts? Is that like a phantom draft type thing? So you're not paying for
it's a phantom draft. So you're not actually getting the cards, but you can get a pack, and then you get the promo for entering it, which right now is the Rage Beast.
Yeah.
So, well, the thing is nobody really has that promo. So, might have some value to it.
Except for all these new players that are trying
to. Yeah, well, that's the thing. You're not going to have a whole bunch of people just farming these things either.
Interesting. I mean, what I've done is I bought, obviously, if anyone saw, Xava Brachos Blood Witch had like a literally 12-hour spike window. And a bunch of people, Genius apparently got in on it and a few others. I bought two because I was like, I don't have enough money. I'm like, I can't risk if this goes bad. So I bought two, sold two. And so I made a couple of tickets on those. And then I don't know why, but I believe Fleeceman Line, that card just, I got like three or four at like 40 cents. I think those are great. And then I bought a couple of Boonsaders. And other than that, I've just bought some 5 cent specs, like some long-term stuff. Like Prognostic Sphinx and some other things that I just think, like, I'm not expecting these to go to a dollar, but if they go to 50 cents, I'm like, that's...
Yeah, they might come up enough that you can, like you were saying before, you can package play sets for two tickets or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and then here's the thing. This is, like, my big play that I'm doing right now, because everyone knows I'm playing White Devotion, and I am just fucking loving that deck. I think it's insane. It's just...
You just had to stick through that, didn't you? Like, you're just like, I'm gonna break White Devotion.
No,
it's
gonna
happen.
No, I'll tell you what. What's funny is, like, I've been saying that the gods are, in my opinion, I think the gods right now are the most undervalued ever. It's only because every time I play a god like Heliod, I'm playing the worst god. So I figure if I'm playing the worst god and I have now won tens of matches, like. So many matches, just out of nowhere, fucking a Johnny Vengeance, or not a Johnny Vengeance, a Johnny fucking double strike flying Heliod out of nowhere, hit you for 10 or 12, whatever. And people are like, holy shit, like, I thought you're bored.
That's what it is. It's because you're playing the worst fucking god out there. You're playing Heliod, so when it hits the board, people are like, whatever. Exactly. they don't even use the removal in their hand to get rid of it.
No, but it's kind of bad that his spears actually seen more play than he does. And by far.
Here's the thing. So Heliod, I believe, is obviously there's a bit of like people don't think he's serious. But then what's hilarious is I drop him, and then, you know, a Boros Reckoner, fucking anything that comes down turns him on, and and literally my board looked like it's nothing. It's a Chain to the Rocks, a Detention Sphere, and a Heliod. And they're like, okay, like, I've got this game, like, I'm gonna win. Master of Waves, 25 tokens, you're dead next turn. I'm like, great, Boros Reckoner, then I turn on frickin' Nykthos and get like 100 mana, drop all my shit and attack you in there and kill you. And they're like, wow, that happened fast. Yes. And this is what's insane about this deck. I've dropped the list a couple times, but what I'm really learning about is the gods. I've fooled around with Furfuros, and I'm realizing, you know, at Nykthos is $3, what, 3.3 tickets right now. Heliod is 2.3. Furfuros just went under 5. I obviously for 20 ticks, I cannot buy a Furfuros. That's like almost 25% of my money. I can't go in, but I am seriously thinking of going in on Heliod as a 2 of, just because that god, if it goes to 10 bucks, that's a huge profit. And I think I think in all honesty, I think the gods are insanely powerful. No, do you know that in my games, I think I've only had my Heliod Detention Sphered a couple times. And other than that, no one does anything to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they literally, I don't think they take it seriously. They're just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, but they can't kill it. They can't kill it. Like, Mono Black Control is like,
right.
Like, what do I do? I can't beat it.
Well, they'll devour flesh, but that's about it.
Yeah, but they don't, because devour flesh, to turn heal it on, I have other shit on the board. So he never gets taken out. So it's just funny. Like, I believe that the gods are very, very powerful. And when Board of the Gods hits, I mean, here's the thing, people. They made this set. This is about the gods. So they are, if you think all the juice was in the first set, you're wrong. We know there is shit coming in the next two sets that are going to make gods insane. And so as a financial spec, I still think Nykthos is absurd at $3. Not for 20 ticks yet. If it goes under three, fuck, I will just buy one because that's insane. For my own collection, I spec'd on that. I think that card is insane. And I think all the gods, in all honesty, are very good. Except for Erebos, I think at 7 or 8 tickets. I don't know why that thing is that expensive because it's seeing zero play.
Right.
No, it's not.
In what is it seeing? In what deck?
In Mono Black.
Really? I have played Mono Black.
The thing is it's being basically used as like another Underworld Connections. It's being seen plenty of play in Mono Black, just like Thassa's seen play in Blue.
I think Mono Black's going to fall off in the next couple weeks.
It is.
It's just way too popular right now.
Well, Thassa's actually already back down to 875, so.
Thassa's very good. In all honesty, I was even thinking in my White Devotion deck, just I'm looking for, like, I have about 3 to 5 cards where I'm, like, I'm still experimenting with. I've tried Assembly of the Legion. What is that fucking angel that gives attack twice and some other shit and Angel Serenity. Yeah, I've even tried the fucking the Sphinx. The hilarious thing is, so the Sphinx is, like, what, 30 cents, and I bought, like, 6 or 7 because I'm like, this is a fucking mythic rare that gives a second turn has to, at some point, go over a ticket. And so anyways,
Even if you just wait until, like,
Redemption.
Redemption, yeah. And he'll be a ticket because pretty much rares will, I think, or not rares, but mythics, the lowest they ever generally get, other than like when they're bottoming out, like right now, is 50 cents or so. So, I mean, you're not going to be very bad off even if you miss on that.
Yeah, that's why I like it's sure money. I mean, it's a long term play, but what's.
Yeah. What my long-term play, did you see that?
Well, hold on. Before you get to that, so the funny thing is with this, the Sphinx. As Kevy goes to the fucking bar to get to
I'm making my second cocktail, and they're big ones too.
It's a big. But the funny thing is, I was like, okay, I'm gonna put 2 in the deck, and I'm gonna play. And for like 2 days straight, I'm like trying to play with this card, and I'm like, I want to see what it can do. And not, I swear to the good Lord, not a single fucking time that card hit the table, it was killed instantly. Every guy, and I'm like, literally, the one guy's like, chats me, he's like, what the fuck? He's like, hell no, and he just Doomblades it. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, I'm like, guys, I have to test and see if this card works. I'm like, no. And not a single person, like, they'd let.
Sure, it worked. It was a magnet.
Yeah, well, I guess it was. But at 6 mana, I was hoping that it would do something. And Ferret, I know you're going to love this. But the card that I most want in the deck when I'm behind is Elspeth. It is. I know I said it was shit, but in all honesty, I have to be honest. With the Nyxos Shrine, I have cast Elspeth on turn 4 or 5 so many times and just been so impressed. The fact that it can wrath the board in those situations where you fucking just need it to happen. I've rotated Aetherling, every other card I could think of in that slot.
Yeah, I've seen your sideboard and I was looking at it like, what the fuck are you thinking, Maddie?
Trust me. There's so much mono red. That's why I'm playing that Last Breath, because that thing is insane against mono red. Here, bring it on, mono red. Like, my boards are built to handle what's in the metagame, like, this week.
You know the really easy way to take care of mono red? Ratchet Bomb.
Yeah, I know, but you know what?
Ticket to one, boom, there goes their entire deck.
No, it's 2. The mono red right now is all, especially with the one with the fucking Mogus, is all 2, right? Burning Tree and fucking all that shit, but.
And Axe a lot. And stuff. Don't forget though, they have Street Foundry, Denizen, and then the fucking Satyr.
Mine's running. I think I'm running 8 1 drops and 12 2 drops, I want to say. Yeah, 8-1 drops until
between
12,
1 and 2, you pretty much wipe the entire board.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I do, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should. I've tried a lot of them. Maybe I need to go back.
So, speaking of the mono red.
Yo.
It was absolutely fucking hilarious watching Michael Jacobs the other day streaming his mono red in a daily. And every single time, someone would just drop Master Waves, and he goes like, well,
I can't win.
Yeah, that just happened. Yeah.
Well, good game. Well, shit.
Just totally tanked out of the DE because of it.
Yeah, Mono Red was fun for the first couple weeks, and now I'm like, well, I don't really feel like playing Standard anymore.
I don't know, man. I gotta say Standard's still fun. Even in some of the 8-mans, the only thing that
that's me we're talking about, though. I was just like, that was cool. Yeah. When the deck that I fucking can pilot in my sleep isn't doing good anymore, then fuck it. I don't care. I'm going back to Modern.
You want to know how to get around Master of the Waves, though? Mm-mm. You just play red-black, and you have Illness of the Ranks, and you're like, okay, well, all those little tokens can eat shit and die. You got a 2-1. Congrats.
Yeah, red-black is totally... Like, I don't think mono-red is worth it. I think red-black is so much more powerful.
I think I do want to head over to red and black. Also, the nice thing... Because I feel like I want to play Thoughtseize really bad, too.
Hey, Kevy, here's the other thing that's nice about Illness of the Ranks. It basically tells Maddie and his Elspeth to go shit and die, too.
Yeah, it does. I don't... I've been blown out by Illness of the Ranks. I do not like that card. That thing is... When you think you're safe and your whole board gets fucking smoked, it's pretty evil.
Speaking of which, we have a guest here who...
Yeah, I was going to say, these cards actually fucking...
theory on this kind of stuff. He has some experience. Apparently, he's putting in chat that Boros is very good.
Yeah, Boros is. I mean, that's the White Devotion deck is kind of like... That's why I'm playing some of the cards for it. But tonight, we... I don't know why. Who the fuck got...
We have a good Magic player on the show.
I don't know. It's one... You know, you ever see Sesame Street where it's like, three of these things belong and one doesn't?
Yeah. One of these things is not like the other. Yeah.
we have a Raging Gumby on tonight. Say hello, yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. What's up?
He's just been sitting in the corner.
I've been holding my tongue listening to you guys talk about it.
Well, you know, it's heavy meta. Just speak up.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, just interrupt us. That's what we do.
Well, like, as far as what you guys are talking about, Mono Red Splash White is actually what beat me. It was the only deck that beat me at the SCG Open.
Yeah, which, of course, the guys, you should have heard them on the cast. They're like, well, you know, this is the only lopsided match in the entire top 8, and then that goes and happened. I'm like, great, fuckers, you jinxed them.
Yeah, no, actually, I just went straight retarded in the top 8 match. Like, I just fell apart. I was way too tired, had no food.
Well, everyone, well, Dave.
I wasn't there wearing my cheerleading outfit.
Yeah, Kevy wasn't there.
So David, give the listeners a bit of a backstory on who you are and how this tournament came about.
I don't really know what a backstory on me would be like.
I met counts. David one time.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll give you the backstory. So David, we met him in Vegas. He's one of Kevy's good friends, and as Kevy said, and I, you know, after seeing him play, I fully believe he's one of the best Magic players I've seen. I think he's very good. And he basically managed to crush, I would say, almost to the top 4, the last SCG Open. Is that correct?
Yeah, I the only guy I lost to is also the guy that beat me in the top 8 throughout the Swiss. So I only lost to one person in the entire tournament. Then the guy who won the tournament, I was his only loss. So if I hadn't fallen apart, I probably would have taken that tournament down.
What were you playing?
I was playing what I termed as Skunk in a Blender, but SCG didn't like that, so they changed it to Black, White, Red Control.
Now, is this similar to the, I guess it would be the list Jerry had at the start of the season?
I don't know. I modified my Boros list that I have been playing with, and I was going to play that originally at the SCG Open, but then last second I started not liking the matchup against Esper, which I thought was going to be very, very strong. And it was, but I never played against it. But either way, I wanted to incorporate black. And so I just mixed it in, and it eventually just morphed into, it's, you know, a completely other deck. But
so what are you splashing for in black?
Well, it turned into more than just a splash. Wow. Like, that's just what led to it. And then it was just a series of events, and it ended up very, very heavy black. Hero's Downfall was the main card, that and Thoughtseize. I really wanted those in there. Hero's Downfall is just the premier removal in the format right now.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
I'd agree with that.
It kills everything, and it, you know, it's very good against the creature mirrors, it's very good against control if they land Elspeth or you know, it still will buy you a turn, or if they tap out for Aetherling, it'll take care of that. So
you know what? You know what? His hero's downfall doesn't kill gods.
Gods. Yeah, but if you kill all the other creatures, their gods don't do much.
This is very true. This is very true.
Because I did that plenty. There was a couple games against Mono Blue Devotion where they were just staring at me with the Thassa, and all it was doing was scrying them, which isn't bad, but it wasn't what they wanted it to do.
Yeah, right. You know what? You know what's funny though. The one thing with all the gods is Heliod is the only god that can make an army.
Yeah, that's true.
It's one of those things that you look at him, you're like, well, whoopee-doo-da. But if you clear your board or you're playing that game against him, it's like, holy shit! Like he could just come back, man. If I'm drawing blanks, Maddie, I'm making shit.
Hey, I gotta tell you though.
Yes.
You're spending 4 mana to get a 1/1 dude. If I'm on black with Erebos, yeah. I'm spending 4 mana to draw 2 cards. Who's gonna win that race?
It depends on what you're drawing. If you draw lucky, I mean, you never know, right? Like, if you draw a handful of freaking Heroes Downfalls, you can waste them on my fucking elemental freaking enchantment dudes. That's fine. I'll just keep making them. But I guess you're right. Like, you could. Black seems to be
black is awesome.
Powerful, but I'm also drawing other cards in the deck. But
hey, David, do you have your list handy?
I know it, so.
Oh yeah, I've got this burned. In. Yeah, so like what I'm, because I actually really dig this list, and I want to build it and start playing with it. You should rattle that off so that everybody, because we'll forget to put it in like the show notes or anything.
Oh, okay. So what are you playing? Every dealer within earshot is going ching ching ching.
Yeah.
All right, so the creatures, it's 4 Boros Reckoners, 2 Desecration Demons, 2 Pack Rats, and 2 Obsidoths in the main, and then the spells. There was 1 Rakdos Key Rune. There was 1 Rakdos Return, 2 Thoughtseize, 2 Ultimate Price, 1 Doomblade, 4 Heroes Downfall, 3 Anger of the Gods, 2 Mizzium Mortars, 2 Assemble the Legion, and 2 Elspeth.
Mm-hmm. And no Stormbreath Dragon, eh, in the main?
Yeah, it's funny. I did have him in there at first, and then I realized like I wanted to keep the curve a little lower, and just rely on early removal and then land like, oh, and 2 Whip of Erebos. Sorry, that was a big card.
Yes.
So the deck pretty much, its kill condition was Whip of Erebos and Obsidot. And then obviously Assemble and Elspeth could get the job done as well. I wanted to have very powerful threats that were difficult to handle on their own. And that seemed to work out because a lot of times they would sideboard in for certain cards, and then I would land a different one, and they just had no answers for it, and it you know, took over the game. And
because that deck's just jammed full of good shit, like that standalone good fucking cards.
Yeah, I really like the black white red combination in Standard right now, just because it has to me the most versatility. You can have an aggressive deck in those colors if you want. You can have a very controlling deck. You can have a mid range mm-hmm. deck, it's very customizable.
You don't have to play blue.
Play blue.
Now,
is very good against blue.
So here's the question, though.
Blue kind of looks at an Obsidot and kind of just
says,
"Oh shit."
Yeah, with any three color deck, like how do you find the mana? Because that's a lot of very color intensive cards.
Yeah, well,
I'm curious.
This deck, because it had double of every single color. Sometimes both in one card. Obsidot's double white, double black. Anger's double red. Yeah, you need triple red for Mizzium Mortars if you want to overload it. I mean, all I can say is I jammed every single dual land you could think of in the deck, and then
any just, gates.
I didn't put any gates in. I figured I had enough tap lands with the 8 temples, which were very good. The temples were very key.
Do you find something which I seem to be noticing? And it's again, it's probably just like my place that I was like, I like to play a bit of chess where I like a deck that's very versatile, that I can go very fast aggro, or I can just slow the game down and go control. And I'm noticing in Standard that I don't know how many times I see the first couple turns are just, you know, scry land, do nothing. And fast decks just are like, oh my god, I'm like 8-9 damage just getting in for free while you're just doing nothing.
That's exactly why the red-white lists that were first and second did so well, is because they took advantage of that, what you're talking about, that 2 or 3 turn open period, which is one of the reasons why I wanted the Anger of the Gods and the spot removal early, is to stem the bleeding. But yeah, it does. I mean, even the devotion decks are very, you know, slow to start up. And so if you can get in, you know, close to lethal, you can finish the game off before they really have a chance to set up.
No, totally, man. Did you have any, Boros Charms in the sideboard list?
I did not, simply because that's just not a very good fit for my deck. Like, I don't care if they kill my creature, because I can whip Obsidot back out, and I don't really have that many creatures. And most of mine are simply for defense until I can get Obsidot or a whip out or a Blood Baron out. It was a four of in either the second place or the first place deck. I can't remember. Oh, the first place deck was
in it. Yeah, I bounced back and forth playing that, and it's true. In the right deck, I guess, you know, the double strike or it's basically counter spell Hero's Downfall. Kind of card, which, especially in like red white, you really don't have a lot of answers to certain cards. You're burning them or you're rocking them, and that's about it.
It's pretty much just a to protect them from, you know, rats or spot removal, because that's just a game ender against Esper, because they're already taking massive damage in the early turns, and then they're hoping for that turn four Supreme Verdict to get them back in the game, and if you go, nope, sorry, Boros Charm, and then they go, oh, okay, well, that was a good game.
Good game. Stoop.
Yeah, seriously, or even, like, you know, the four damage to the face sometimes, those last points, like...
Yeah. That didn't happen to me, but I'm sure it happened quite a bit elsewhere, which is why I liked red over the blue-white for the Wraths, because Anger of the Gods, most of the time, you can still catch them with their pants down. Them having tapped out for creatures, and then you just wipe the board. It was real fun, too. The guy that beat me, James Gates, he sided in Satyr Fire Drinkers, and I that's how I killed him, was I did 6 damage to the first Anger of the Gods, because he had 2 Fire Drinkers out, and then later in the game he had another one out, and I attacked and dealt him, brought him down to 3, and then Anger of the Gods and killed him with his own creature.
Oh, that's right, because it takes the damage. So.
I hate that fucking card. I will not run that card.
Yeah,
the Fire Drinker.
Yeah, I don't think that card is good at all.
My red list, I run fucking I'm purposely not running him and the Foundry Street Denizen or whatever. I'm not into that one.
Foundry Street Denizen's not that great. Fire Drinker against Esper is golden. I mean, and that he had it in the sideboard. I just don't think he realized that I had 4 angers and
2 orders,
and so it just wasn't just good.
Blow him out.
Yeah, well, in the top 8, I didn't see a single Fire Drinker, so I think he learned his lesson. He didn't bring those back in. So.
Oh, that'd be a brutal way to lose, man. Two Fire Drinkers out, and the guy overloads Busy Immortals against you and kills you in one turn on your. You're like, oh, dude.
The other thing is Boros Reckoner with Anger of the Gods. That won me 2 or 3 different games.
That's
right. Anchoring my own creatures and dealing lethal to them. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I like that list.
That is awesome. Yeah, that's like when you showed it to, because I know you had been talking for a while about wanting to run like red, white, black, and then you like had, you know, you, like you said, you had your Boros list and stuff like that, but then when you were like with this list, I was just like, oh my god, that looks like so much fucking fun to play. All those cards are fun to play. So yeah, now I have to fucking build it. Thank you, David, because now I have to buy a bunch of shit.
You are welcome. No, it's a very, very good deck, and I mean, that's why I ran it, as I felt like it had very good game against every single archetype that I could think of. I mean, I never played against control, but theoretically that's a very good deck against control, because your threats are so elusive to what they have to do to remove it. Like, Obsidot is completely immune to Supreme Verdict and Detention Sphere, so they're really only out is to have a Hero's Downfall on their turn. And then if they have the Hero's Downfall but they don't have the Detention Sphere, you know, landing an Elspeth or Assemble the Legion is just lights out for them. So and then on top of that, you can Duress or Thoughtseize away whatever you're worried about them having. So it was good against everything. I just ended up not having played control at all that day.
Right. So how did you handle the whole Thoughtseize in your deck. Were you main decking these, or you're bringing four of in?
I mained two, and then I sided two.
Okay.
And that was one of the cards that got sided out a lot that day, but that's mainly because I was playing a lot of the devotion decks and the and some aggro deck.
Okay.
So it's not worth it.
So I didn't want the life loss against them, and most of the time, you know, I didn't want it late game. Turn one, Seize is good against anything, but you don't want to draw it later on.
Yeah, after that, it's just a dead card.
Yeah.
So did you ever pull the old, you know, game one, Thoughtseize, game two, board them all out, game three, board them all in type thing?
No, I didn't, but I think that's mainly because, just like I said, a lot of the matchups I was playing were just highly aggressive, and so nice. I sided out Rakdos Return, Elspeth, Assembles the Legion. Like, those cards got sided out a lot simply because I just wanted all of the removal I could have in the deck to keep me to the late game, and then once I was in the late game, you know, Whip of Erebos and Blood Baron and everything were going to take over the game, and I was going to gain so much life that they couldn't recover.
And you know what I really love about that deck? Like, I still think Blood Baron is one of the hardest cards to remove. I mean, obviously Aetherling is the second most, or the hardest card to remove, but, you know, Blood Baron's right behind it is just such a bitch to see hit the table. Like, how the fuck did I kill this thing?
My round 8 opponent, like, I played it, he won the first game, he was playing the Boros aggro deck that won the tournament, but he beat me in game 1, he just ran me over, game 2, game 2 and 3, I landed a Blood Baron, and he just kind of sat over there, you know, unhappy.
Unhappy about it?
Yeah, I mean, he did kill one, but the way he had to do it is he had to activate a Mutavault, block, and then Boros Charm and give it double strike. So I still 2-for-1'd him, and then later on I just whipped the Blood Baron back out and killed him with it. So, I mean, it's a very big card against any of those aggressive reds.
So here's a question with anyone that plays Whip, and I always love to know, because do you feel that just the fact that if Whip just had lifelink and it didn't have the Return from the Graveyard, is that part of the card more valuable, less valuable, or is it kind of a tandem, you need them both? Because I've found when you drop a Whip and, you know, you're behind, it suddenly just changes the entire math of the game. It's very hard to even, like, attack unprofitably, but to even block, like, they're scared to attack you just because you're gaining life now on setting up blocks. Like,
It is. I will say this. In my deck, you definitely need both parts of it, because I don't have enough creatures to warrant just putting it in for the lifelink, right. And the interaction between Obsidaw is one of the main reasons it's in the deck. If you wanted to, you could put it in against, like, with a very creature heavy deck, and it would be very good just off of the lifelink. But in my deck, no, I couldn't put it in with just lifelink. It would never see play in my deck.
So then you found, like, you were playing it primarily
and Obsidaw.
Yeah, like that reaction is what, yeah. But I'm saying, like, did you ever, like, have a game where you're playing it and you're like, well, I never saw Obsidaw that game, but the fucking Whip won it for me just because.
Yes,
there, you know, was one game. Desecration Demon just hit for 6, and now it's a 12-point life swing.
What's funny is it wasn't Desecration Demon that it was. It was Assemble the Legion with the Whip out. It was very, very good.
That's awesome.
And this game was awesome because this guy I was playing, he had 2 Assemble the Legions out. I had 1. And I had a Desecration Demon that was absolutely huge because he kept sacrificing to keep it tapped because he was smart. I was sitting with a Mizzium Mortars in my hand, and there was only 5 lands on the board, and I already had the 3 reds. So any land would let me overload Mizzium Mortars and then attack for lethal with the demon, but I just couldn't get that land, so I was just treading water. And he was playing very conservative. If he was very aggressive, he could have attacked all out. Most of the time, and I would have been dead probably 2 turns before I ever saw the 6th land, because I saw the land, it was a temple, so I played it and scryed. I didn't matter what was on top, I just needed that land. And then I don't know whether he had lethal on board that turn, because he had played so conservative. He only attacked me with like half his tokens every turn. He would leave like 10 back for whatever reason. I don't know whether he thought that you had to sacrifice an untapped creature to tap demon, but either way, he was only attacking with half, which I was very, very fortunate for. And then I, you know, overloaded the Mizzium Mortars and killed him with like a 12-12 demon or whatever it was.
Jesus. That's brutal. Yeah,
it was a fun game, having three assembled the legions out and
just watching the armies grow.
Yeah, at first when he only had the one, it was kind of weird on even footing because he had to sacrifice one every turn for my demon. But then when he landed the second one, I was like, oh, this is gonna get ugly real quick.
So So I mean, that sounds like totally amazing, man. Like, definitely gonna try and build some red, black, white. Always a good combination, I think. I think it's got some.
Yeah, I love
it. But I did want to say, because our poor ferret, he's it is Halloween and he's been eating way too much candy and he doesn't brush his teeth at night like I've been telling him, and he's got a sore tooth. And he's probably going to have to go lie down soon because...
He more than likely just broke off his tooth chewing on ankles and shit. Like, yeah. He finally caught bone and then just snapped his little tooth off.
Yep, caught bone, got in between the teeth, going to have to see the doctor tomorrow. Or whatever the fuck.
But you know what's funny? We're gonna be doing a little ferret drive for all the SVU, so...
We're gonna start a Kickstarter to pay ferrets medical bills.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna start some cool ferret tokens. Unfortunately, there's nobody. I mean, I don't know, Kevin. There's no one that you know that's a good artist that could draw, right?
I don't know. It seems like all the good artists decide that they're just gonna take off and like leave the fucking community. Yeah. But then every once in a while, you have one that comes back.
Yeah, I mean, if we had an artist that we could call on, I don't know, but guess we don't.
We're not cool enough. We're not the A team, and we're not John Medina. So. Oh wait, we're heavy meta. So guess what? We brought you guys something tonight to replace Ferret's little tooth problem and him having to leave
in a suitcase. Yeah, we brought him here in a suitcase.
Brought him here in a suitcase. So we found us, like, the one and only Miss Polish Tamales, yes. To come grace you with his or her presence tonight.
His or her presence.
What is up, man? Say hi.
Hey, what's going on?
So, we're drinking. That's standard. You should know that.
Oh my god, real quick side note, fucking that Momir fucking stream that we did the other night on fucking TKO, I literally almost passed out by the end. I was that drunk. And so we decided, now every time I pass out drunk on camera, we're gonna give away cards. It's gotten that bad.
I think that sounds amazing. That's all I gotta say. But but I have to say straight off the bat, welcome back, Mrs. Mrs. Tamales, it's been a while. You've been having adventures in Adventureland, but it's good to have you back. And I gotta say that ferret character sheet you did. I don't know if you've been spying on the motherfucker with some glasses, but that's exactly what he looks like. Dead on.
Oh, that was awesome.
The ferret characters were so cool. I want one now.
With that, since you guys decided to throw me into the suitcase and kick me down the stairs, I suppose I'll get out of here.
Yeah, fair.
Do you have any like mid podcast shout outs since you're leaving? Do you care about
I'm gonna shout out to Polish, to Chad, David for coming on. Thanks everybody, and definitely thank you again, Polish, for covering for me tonight, because I'm gonna try to get some sleep tonight. Who knows how that will work, but
don't go get on Moto. You won't sleep.
No, God, no.
Don't do it.
I know better.
All right, Ferret, go cuddle up in your
Ferret,
little,
we
your,
love you.
Your ball of fur and your beer can tabs.
Later, man.
But so it's funny because we got Polish on here, and I got to say, straight up, it's very good to have you back. Number one, number two, Vegas was only the beginning.
It was only the beginning.
It was. And that's all we're going to say. We are not here to speculate for the
that's
fans.
That's what we're here for, speculate.
Oh, sorry. That is what we do.
Wild-ass speculations.
Well, then I will wildly speculate that you have seen nothing yet and that there are some insane stuff in the queue. Now, as you know, I believe this was Kevy's fault. And he fixed
most things.
Yeah, Durf escaped. As you probably know, we don't talk about him. He's been his cage was made of solid stuff. It was good, but if you don't fucking attach his leg ankles,
I was sitting around drunk in the cave one afternoon, just playing Moto and hanging out, and fucking Durf, like I was drinking, and Durf convinced me with this sob story. He's like, he wanted to go off and be a martial arts expert, and I just, you know, kind of I got crushed a little bit inside. I'm like, man, you should. And I opened up the cage and I let him go.
So
it's terrible. It's terrible, because now I've just been, like, desperately trying to get him back. He's standing outside the cave with his cage, calling for him. Yeah, he won't come back. He's like, fuck this.
We've been trying to leave all manner of traps for him, but he ain't coming back. But, you know, we did get a letter down from Heavy Meta Inc. headquarters, and they were pretty pissed off because, you know, he was doing all the artwork for the entire Heavy Meta Corporation. But Kevy, you know, he was like, you know what, I'm going to fix this. And he went out and he captured himself a young Polish girl. And
a young Polish girl. And threw him in the fucking
girl. Yeah, well, you know, this Polish girl does, you know, she is on a strict weight routine, so her voice is lowered slightly. It could be the steroids she takes, I don't know, but or whatever drug she
does. See, Durf decided to go learn martial arts to defend himself. What's that?
I said, you gave him a much different job than most of the Polish girls you go out and capture.
Yeah,
oh,
shit.
Well, David, we do not talk about the other
Polish girls. Oh, sorry.
The other Polish girls.
I'm new to this.
All the other Polish girls.
David, there was an episode, I believe episode 3, where we accidentally mentioned the Kevy Corral. We have failed to mention that since then for a reason.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah, David, you were in Vegas. We didn't get to have that. It sucked. My plan for fucking Modern Masters in Vegas is I was going to challenge Brian Kibler to a Let's Go Get Some Bitches contest. And I was convinced I could pull more bitches than Kibler. And we were going to just set up a corral or two different corrals in the living room of the house and just keep score. We weren't actually going to do anything with them.
Been the worst weekend to challenge him, because that Daisy whatever festival he goes to.
Yeah.
He would have pulled just hundreds.
Oh, yeah. He's just walking around the fucking joint with just a bag full of ecstasy and just leading them back on like a leash. He's just got 150 girls.
Full of ecstasy. That would have been Brian Kibler.
Yep. But apparently when I started bringing up corralling women in the house, everybody, you know, the lawyers jumped on it real quick and said we can't do that.
They went all ape shit on us. They kiboshed the corral on us.
Yeah, they said, no, this isn't going to happen.
But anyways, we've got new things.
Matty, are you in the kitchen now?
I am. I'm getting my own drinks. So, you know, you got to take breaks to fill up, man. It's a long cast.
Oh, you're damn right. That's why I have a mini fridge within arm's reach.
Oh, man. No, seriously, we've got some really neat stuff. I did want to give one update to a couple of people. So you've probably seen on Twitter, we were going back and forth. We were just about to launch our second. Yeah, it's only been our second T-shirt. No, our third T-shirt, I guess. The Heavy Meta Airsport one. But I pulled the plug in at the last minute. Chad, sorry. Don't worry. It's in. We haven't, you know, deleted it or anything. It's there. But I wanted to let Brainstorm Brewery run their contest for a while because I think their shirts are awesome. I think everyone should go check it out. I'm going to be getting mine tomorrow. And I don't want to just, you know, have two.
Yeah, I don't want to be running a Teespring thing while they're doing theirs too.
Exactly. Because, it's not cool.
Yeah, we got to let all the fans actually get their funds back up so that they can buy our shit too.
Yeah, and in other words, there's something obviously a lot of people have been asking for over T-shirts, and that is hoodies. And I just want to let everyone know the update is that there is Test Hoodie 1 and Test Hoodie 2. No thanks to the SVU. You guys are fucking insane. I put the problem out, and so many people emailed me and with solutions and where to get them and how to help me out. And just want to say thank you very much to all the people who gave me ideas and options, and especially a couple of people that are actually making shit happen for me. So Fruity, two times, you know who you are. He's hooking us up. We are going to get some test hoodies up. If they are as cool as they look, these are going to be the best fucking hoodies you've ever seen. Straight up, no doubt, they're going to fucking blow your mind.
Well, they're going to say heavy metal on them, so they win automatically.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to give too much away because there's a few things that could be up in the air, and I don't want to promise something and then fail, but I've gotten...
That's how I've built my career, is promising shit and then just failing at it.
How many episodes ago
did I promise you guys I was going to learn how to play Magic? And I haven't. I'm just a drunk, and you guys still come listen to me every single week.
As the ice tickles, it's the best. No, in all honesty, though, I'm trying to do this right. Good merch. It's on the way, so just want to let everyone know. Chad, don't worry. And I know frickin' Rico and his Burninator shirt. They're in the queue, guys. It's just, you know, we can't just go putting a t-shirt out every week because no one will buy them. We have to put them out in order that the contest will actually successfully trigger. And so I got to balance it with demand and make sure it's good. So if I can, the hoodies are going to go as soon as we get them. If they look good, we're going to go with those. So I hope everyone who said you want them, we're going to do these fuckers, and I probably ain't going to do hoodies again because they're expensive and a pain in the ass to fucking do.
What's going to happen is by the time we get them running, it's going to be May.
No.
Nobody's going to buy them.
No. Okay, so I will promise Ben. I will promise all these people that it's saying it's cold. I know it's cold. The hoodies are coming up. I should have them, like, within, you know, 2-3 days. As soon as I see them physically and they're good, the order is a go. The way if this works out the way it should, you'll be able to order directly off the manufacturer and he'll ship things directly to you.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, and so it should be really good. I mean, we should, you know, maybe before Christmas we could have hoodies out. So, not going to promise again until I see what we get, but it should be pretty sweet. These are going to be awesome.
I'm still wearing my fucking Manita Bribe hoodie. It has a big Canadian fucking flag on the side of it, which I have no problem with Canadians, but when I wear it in America, everybody looks at me like, the fuck are you, some sort of Canuck?
I wear my Manita Bribe hoodie every day. Like, I have it. It's my fucking hoodie. It's the shit.
It started to turn into my work hoodie, though.
Oh, no, sacrilege.
It's not going to last much longer.
Yeah. Did you cut the sleeves off it already?
No, I haven't cut the sleeves off of that one.
See, you did. You cut the sleeves off everything I give you, all the merch. You're fucking sick.
I've only done that on one. I've only cut that off which shirt was that? The year one shirt.
Do you realize what I did is I told many people. Hold on.
This is episode 52, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure this is episode 52, and that means we've been doing this for a year.
Holy shit. No, that's fucking, there you go. Polish is like, what? We're out of year. Shit, holy fuck balls. I didn't even realize that.
So I was paying too much attention to the 50th episode, and I realized, like, oh, wait, that's
proof,
two proof episodes.
That Kevy can count.
Yeah, no shit. Well, I mean, I can count to two. Everybody told me it was 50, and I was like, so I think 52 comes to
Grade 3 math. Nice. No, you know, it was funny. I told one of the manufacturers, I was like, hey, if you got any, like, bad runs or ones that fuck up, he's like, I go, what do you do with them? He's like, we throw them out. I'm like, no. You cut the sleeves off those things and you send them to Kevin Metal.
Send them to me.
Because he will wear that shit.
God damn right, brother.
They were laughing, but I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, if you have any mistakes. Just throw them in a bag and just send them all to fucking Kevin.
I'm like wearing different, like every show I'll be wearing a different hoodie on stage with the sleeves cut off and like misspelled words on them. So it just like look like some fucking illiterate vagrant that fucking found his way on stage. I like it.
All I gotta say is if even maybe one Halloween I might release the heavy meat shirt. You know, just where we spell meta wrong, yeah. It just says
heavy. Still got to put the Mevy Meta shirt out.
Yeah, we got to do Mevy Meta still, too.
Yeah, there's so many fucking things. I did want to shout out really quick, though. Proxy Guy made our 50th episode limited edition tokens, and they are insane.
They're so fucking crazy.
I got mine in the mail today. He sent me a set. I think he sent all of us a set. Holy shit, they're gorgeous, man. Beautiful stuff. So, Proxy, man, again, as always.
Thank you.
You're the fucking man.
Hell yeah, the dude just fucking hooks us up all the time. I feel bad.
Send him some shit, man. I got a care package going out to him, man.
I'm going to send him a bunch of whiskey. You know that, right?
There you go, man. Oh, speaking of whiskey. Okay, so check this out. Because I live in Ophir here, and there's a marina. and they're packing all the boats away because it's, you know, winter and they take the boats out. And I was on a walk, and the first time I've ever seen this boat. It's all black, okay, and on the side, it has these tentacles coming.
Oh, no.
No, I'm going to go take a picture of this boat next time I see. But he has tentacles on one side of the boat, like fucking octopus tentacles. I'm like, oh, that's really cool, man. Like, awesome, like a black hull boat with these white tentacles. And on my way back, they were moving the boat, and the other side of the boat turned around. The name of the boat was Kraken. Dude. And I'm like, that's sick, man.
Now I need a lot of money so I can buy a boat in the desert.
I got a boat, Kevin. We can do that.
Mine. Can we paint it black and put Kraken tentacles on it?
Down for it. Let's do it.
No, Kraken.
I got so many cans of spray paint. This
thing up. Light this bugger up, man.
It'll be the ugliest boat. It's not you, but I'm fucking retarded when it comes to art.
Well, don't worry.
I'm decent with it, but like, yeah. Well, I'm probably better with a spray paint can than I am with any other medium of art. But
I'm up like, why does your fucking boat have branches all over it? Those are tentacles, motherfucker.
Those are tentacles. Can't you read? It says Kraken. No, it doesn't. Oh yeah,
Kevin doesn't have a C in it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, Kevin's literate. Shit.
Just as long as you put the heavy metal logo on it, we're solid.
Yeah, well, I'll get that right.
Yeah. Although someone did have a great idea, and I know Kevin loves this idea. Something else I'm looking into, and again, I'm just going to call them the SUV, whatever the fuck you guys are called. I'm a little too far into whatever the hell I'm drinking right now. He had an idea for patches, and I think that idea is insane.
Speaking of fucking cutting the sleeves off of hoodies and shit, yeah, he was talking today on Twitter about he wants to do like a fucking like motorcycle club like rocker looking like hoodie and just have like heavy metal on the top rocker, the logo in the middle, and then like what did he say underneath? Oh yeah, Philadelphia.
Philly, yeah.
Like Philly on the bottom, and just make it look like, I don't know, some sort of Sons of Anarchy fucking hoodie. And I was like, dude, that would be sick! But then he said, the cheapest I've found it so far and still like decent quality to be able to get these patches custom made and shit's like $140 for everything. I was like, yeah, go ahead and wear it and send me pictures because I don't want to pay $140 for a hoodie.
Well, the good thing is I know a couple people that do the embroidery, so there could be, if we did a smaller patch, you know, something maybe, I don't know.
Hell yeah, patches you know, are up to.
Yeah, like a 6-inch or a 5-inch square kind of thing, but, you know, we might be able to get those for like $10 a piece, so. That's kind of cool. You know, whatever, I'll pay for whatever the plates to set it up is, but, you know, we could run like 100 of those, like. So anyways, I mean, we've got all kinds of fucking ideas, guys. Just want to let you know.
The problem is we've got tons of ideas.
And no time.
I'm worthless, and Maddie works his ass off. Yeah. So, like, all these great ideas we come up with, it's like, if you guys don't do something about it, we're never going to get around to it, because I'm lazy, and Maddie works too hard. So,
no shit. We're
in this fucked situation where somebody else has to do it for us.
Yeah, well, we need the help to get things moving. That's all it is, because I don't have time to sit on the phone and dig shit up right now at the moment. But moving on to
we have Polish on, and we're like, hey, everybody, Polish Tamales is back. And I don't even think we let him talk. I think the listeners probably think we're lying.
Yeah. I just recorded it from 20 episodes ago, and I'm just playing.
So what have you been up to, man? How's things going?
It's getting a lot better. Getting back in some things. And I am currently drawing more heavy metal.
Yeah, I am so stoked about that. Because like I said in the chat, like there's one thing I love, and it's pictures of myself, and especially when Polish Tamales draws them. Because he makes me look cooler than I am.
This is such a lie. It's a lie. No, but so seriously, Polish. So what you've been... Probably, as most people don't know, you know, you were away there for a little bit, but I believe it was because you were in a Black Ops training academy or something like that. Yeah. So he's been busy. He's been learning shit.
No, I actually kidnapped the motherfucker, and I was My internet wasn't working so good for a while, and I like my internet porn wasn't working out how I wanted it to, and so I was just like, Polish, draw this so I can jerk off to it. And then he'd sit there and he'd draw it, and then I'd be like, I'm not done yet, draw this. And I'd make him draw something else, and like I got him drawing some really weird shit. But now I finally, like, my internet's working better again, and I can just jerk off to regular porn. And so we let him back out, and now he's like allowed to draw shit for the Magic community again.
Yeah, that's not too far-fetched, because there are that do request that shit.
Oh, dude, I know. You've always had people fucking hitting you up like, can you draw this? Can you draw these two planeswalkers in this position?
Yes. Like, yes. They do request that. They do ask, can you draw me fucking Jace?
No, they do not.
Yes, they do.
What is the most, like, out of all of these ridiculous requests that you get, what is probably that stands out, like, the most fucking out-of-hand, ridiculous, fucking Magic-related fucking drawing that you were asked to do?
I believe that was Kevin when he said, draw shit so I could jerk off.
That's what they do ask. Like, I've been, like, approached by, like, a fan saying that, hey, bro, I love your stuff. I vap to it a lot. I don't know how to respond to that afterwards.
I bet you don't shake his hand.
They assume I'm a chick.
I know, it's so funny. People assume you're a chick all the time.
Everyone's a chick online. So it's like some of these weird neckbeards, they would like approach me in the weirdest way, like instead of saying like a hello or something, they'll start off like, I'm not trying to be creeper or anything, but I just want to say hi.
Yeah, but you have long blonde hair and you have breasts, so it does get kind of confused. No, it's funny. I know you get a lot of the bizarre stuff for sure.
Like, so people from the weirdest corners of the internet would approach me because they all think I'm a chick.
Yeah, and they're just like, oh man, like they're jerking off to you, the pictures that you draw, and then they're just like, oh man, maybe, just maybe, in their little weird nerd world, they're like, maybe if I'm really nice to her on the internet, something might end up happening, and I might, and either whether I'll get to bang her, or I'll get some cool pictures of her, I don't know, and then you're just all, what's up bro, how's it going? And then their world is crushed. and then they go right back to jerking off the pictures that you've drawn of planeswalker chicks.
Again.
Now I you know what's funny? I was Googling while you were away, Paul, so I was looking, because you know you gotta find your fucking Hayante stuff. You gotta get your fix somewhere, and I came across some interesting bizarre stuff, and I don't know if there's any connection, but I did see some very interesting things about, you know, Wizards of the Coast promoting in some very unique ways. For some very unique, for some very unique individuals that I would have thought that Wizard of the Coast would have stayed far, far away from, like porn stars for some reason.
Yeah,
isn't that? Yeah, I swear to God. So there was this chick online, and she's touting about how she's getting free magic stuff. And then you're like, well, it's probably some nerd. No, I swear to God. So I'm like, it's probably some nerd, you know, sending her shit to get, you know, send me some pictures of your titties or send me your underwear, or, you know.
And I'll give you booster packs.
It's like, I don't know what.
That is going to be the greatest pickup line on the planet.
I got a pack of Theros in my pocket.
Yeah, yeah. I've got some fucking Modern Masters packs. Let me get at them panties.
you pick up a chicken up in them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I can't remember the chick's name, but apparently she was getting, it wasn't from any old admirer. It was actually from Wizards, if you can believe that. So I find that completely ironic that the Wizards Coast lawyer goes after Post Tomorrow's, but he's like, hey, it's okay if we give a free product to porn stars and let them blog about it. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe they were not supposed to say anything about it, and now the Wizards of the Coast lawyer will have something else to do, so we can actually have Polish Tamales drawing for a while before they come after him again. Hopefully, I'm hoping so, but I don't know.
I mean, I have no idea, but I find that just very, very ironic.
That is odd.
It is. It is.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We had, like, Polish hasn't been around in a while, so we haven't talked about our friend, the Wizards of the Coast lawyer, in quite a while either. I mean, that guy had his own, like, guest spot on the show, Dan.
Hey, man, I almost went to frickin' Gen Con dressed as him. Like, and I don't know if I ever get a chance. That's my number one costume. I am going with that shit. That is just too funny, man.
Yeah. No, Wizards is a pain in the ass to deal with. My God, just fucking dealing with trying to get Helen on the show is a fucking nightmare. And, like, she's just all, fuck yeah, I'll do it. Let's do this. Cool. Oh, but wait, I gotta send this email of questions to the PR department. And then, like, they got, like, jealous and upset when I would just talk to her. They're just all, well, apparently you've talked to Helen already, and I haven't heard back from you. I was like, what the fuck, dude? Are you like the weird jealous ex-boyfriend, or what's going on here? No, it's just Wizards PR department. They're fucking weird.
Get out of the way, man.
Actually jealous that you didn't show yourself in your Darth Vader underwear to him.
To him and stuff, yeah, exactly. Yes. That's what, well, because I hit her up on Twitter. I was like, hey, you know, would you want to come on the show? And she's like, absolutely. Like, when I get back from Pro Tour Dublin, we'll do this. It'll be cool. And then, like, a couple days before, she's like, hey, can you email me, like, a list of questions and topics so that I can ship it over to the PR team? Which, you know, understandably, that's, like, what they have to do. Cool. No fucking problem. And then it's like, hey, what's up? We heard that you were interested in having Helen on your show. How do you want to do this? Blah, 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 all this crap. And then I told him, you know, this is when we do our show, and we were going to have her on this weekend. I talked to her about it, and this is what we were planning on doing. And I get an email back that's like, well, 6 o'clock may not work for Helen. She likes to do these things in the office and yada, 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 and try to, like, change the time up. And I basically was just, like, I just hit her back on Twitter because I didn't have time to write another email. I was just like, hey, love, sorry. Like, we might have to push this back a week or two because apparently time thing won't work out for you. You know, we'll get something figured out. No big deal. You know, within like 140 characters. And then I get an email from the PR department. It's like, still haven't heard back from you. And I just picture this guy sitting in a dark corner of a room. I still haven't heard back from you. And I'm just all, you know, apparently you contacted Helen directly. As I told you before, we like to handle these things for Helen. And I was just all, dude, do you even know her? Like, are you just some weird fan that somehow got involved in this conversation? But yeah, that's the whole thing that ended up happening with Helen. So we have to, like, jump through a bunch of hoops to get her on the show, which we will eventually. It's just taking longer than we planned. But yeah, Wizards a pain in the ass to deal with.
You know what's hilarious? I was scanning through Twitter, and, you know, because I asked everyone, I'm like, hey, man, you know, tweet your stuff every Wednesday. You know, let us know how 20 tickets is going. And if you ever need somebody that knows numbers and shit, fucking Time Elemental has a fucking Microsoft Excel sheet with up and down bids of what he's done. I'm like, dude, that's hardcore. That's fucking
that guy's
accountant.
Awesome.
That's accountant level hardcore shit. So you know what? I'm gonna start a side game, and the side game. No, the side game is I'm gonna put money on him winning this because if he's that diligent of specking, he's going to crush us.
God damn right, I got this.
He's got this, man. I don't know how.
Man, I fucking love that dude. I've got to hang out with him twice now, and he's fucking cool as shit.
He is going to fucking crush us, man.
He was the guy that was asleep on the couch all the time at the Vegas house, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He was
Did we ever find out who that guy that was on the couch that one night that was like, everyone's like, who is this guy? No one knew that who it was.
I remember there being somebody that, like, nobody had any clue, like, who they were or why they were there, but that weekend was kind of a blur.
I was like, is that just a guy that just wandered off the street and just, like, hey, I'm going to crash, this is a party, no one's going to bump me in? I don't know, man. It was a little
I'm not sure, I don't remember.
Victory for that person if they did it.
Oh, yeah.
No shit.
Nobody did shit about it.
Yeah, everybody's like, apparently you belong, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, crashing parties, man. That actually, I have a hilarious story about the time I crashed a fucking wedding by accident, which was insane. So, because if you could do it, it's the coolest shit ever. But I was working at Lightbox Animation for my co-op downtown, and I'd have to go every morning. And for some reason, I ended up going on a Sunday because I was just, you know, trying to use their photocopier to photocopy as many character sheets as I could while I was there. Because they were just like, hey, man, you could use whatever you want. And I'm like, great. And I just would come down with like 25 books and just, you know, run like 35 pounds of paper off, you know, from my own archives. But I was there one Sunday and I left. And they had rented out this, like, if anyone knows, there's like a, I guess it's not really City Hall. What the fuck is it? It was the walkway or whatever it is. And they had this whole thing roped off, and it was like a white piano and all this stuff there. And I could see they had the courtyard done, and you know, everyone's there. And I was like, well, I usually walk through this way to get to the subway. And I was like, oh, there's a fucking velvet rope, and there's these guys there, and I'm like, oh, you know.
There's things going
on. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, man, what the fuck? And I was like, man, I'm really hungry, too, because I've been, like, you know, photocopying shit all day, and I've got, like, my backpack is so heavy I can barely pull it. And I'm looking left and right, and I'm like, you know, the guy isn't looking at me, so I just walk through the rope, right? And I'm in a fucking jean jacket, a fucking pair of pants. Like, I don't
fucking Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Like, I got a trucker hat on and a giant backpack, and I don't look at it like I belong there at all. And it's like red carpet. There's fucking white flowers. Like, it looks high end as shit. Someone paid tons of fucking money to do this, right? And I'm just walking around, and nobody. And this is like, I guess in Canada, and Canadians are very polite, so they don't really say like, "Hey, what the fuck are you doing here? Get out! We should kill you." They're just like, "Ignore the guy; he'll leave." And so I walk up to the buffet.
Oh, dude, I could make a killing in Canada.
Oh, you could. But I walk up to the buffet table, and I'm like, "Wow, that looks really good." And I look around, and I'm like, well, "I don't want to wreck anything, but I'm gonna try one." And then I was like, "Oh, this is really fucking good, man." And there's, like, kebabs and shit, so I just grab a this is, like, the audacity of me in my younger days. I just grab a plate, and I just start filling it up.
Start going to town, fuck it.
I filled it up, and no one said anything, so I just filled it up.
It is their fault for not mentioning to you that you shouldn't be at this way.
No, the best is, though, someone did. So while I was doing that, a guy comes up with white gloves on, and he's like, excuse me. And I'm like, oh, game's up. Fuck, right? And so I start shoving much food as I can in my mouth before he kicks me out. Because I know he's going to kick me out. And he's like, you're not allowed. No, what the guy says, he goes, you're not allowed to eat yet. And I'm like, oh. He's like, you have to wait for everyone to come back in. It hasn't started yet. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, my bad.
And I say that with a mouth like crumbs falling. Okay. And he's like, go over there. And I'm like, where? He's like, out of here. And so I just sit on the floor, like, beside this white piano. So there's a giant white piano, and I'm sitting on the floor just eating all this shit, and I watch all these people in tuxedos come in, all the, like, whole fucking thing. I'm like, now I'm kind of like, I'm fucked. Because there's 1,000 people in here, and now I don't even know which way's out. And how do I get out of here? And so I'm like, so I sit on the bench at the piano, and I'm sitting there with my plate.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, I'm not going to sit on the floor. The backpack is heavy. So I'm sitting there with my arms, and I'm just watching this thing. I'm like, this is crazy. This is fucking crazy. And a guy comes up to me, right? And he's looking at me, and he's like full tuxedo and everything. And I look at him, and he looks away. He looks back at me. And then I'm like, do you want to say something? And he's like, no, I don't want to say anything. I do, no. I'm like, okay, then. The guy walks away, right? Like, so this is the second time I'm like, wow. I'm like, and I've got to laugh at myself. Like, this is retarded. How many times are people going to just, like, not say anything to me? This is absurd, right? This is fucking absurd. And so the guy who's, I guess like, it was his piano or something, he comes up to me. He's like, hey, off the bench. I'm like, okay. And so I just, you know, stand there. And he opens the piano up, and he's like, okay. He's like, why isn't this plugged in? The amp's not up. And I'm like, do you want me to plug the amp in? He's like, yeah, like, holy fuck, like, they're gonna kind of, I'm like, okay, I know how to kind of work an amp. And so, I set it up, and then all of a sudden, now this guy thinks I'm a fucking roadie. And he's like,
a roadie at a wedding, I love it.
Dude, well, I guess I looked like a roadie. Anyways, the long story short, I start talking to him, because I'm like, I'm bored, I got nothing to do, it's Sunday. And he's like, okay, you know, get me a drink. And I'm like, okay, what do you want? He's like, a scotch on the rocks. So I go up. Now, this is insane, because anyone, if I ever ran a wedding, I would ask the question, who are you and what are you doing here? Anyways, I go up to the bar, and now, you know, I'm a fucking 16-year-old kid asking for a double scotch on the rocks. And the guy just is like, yep, here you go. And so I'm like, well, can I have two? He's like,
yeah, I'm actually going to need another one.
He's like, yep, here you go. And I walk back, and I'm literally sipping scotches with the guy. And he's playing the piano, you know, we're joking around. And then the guy, like, midway through this whole thing, he's taking a break, a smoke break. And he's talking, he's like, so Or where's the other guy? And I'm like, I don't really know. And he's like, so did you get put in this last minute? Like, I hate when this shit happens. I'm like, no, not really. I go, I just wandered in here about 3 hours ago. I'm full. Like, I am full. I've had so much food and I'm half drunk now. I'm like, this is a blast. And he's looking at me, and I pick my bag up, and I'm like, man, this was fun as shit. I go, you are a good piano player, but I think everything's good. You should all be ready to go. And I walk away, and I'm walking away, and the guy literally, he's like, hey. I'm like, fuck, security, right? I'm like, they got me. They're going to fucking beat me to death. They're going to pull me in a back room and, like, just pound my head. And he's like, hey. He's like,
because wedding security usually pulls you in the back room and fucks you up.
Like, wedding security is like Vegas.
No. But the guy, he's like, hey, and he lifts his hands and he mouths the words like balls of steel, and he's just glaring at me. He's like, balls of steel, and I'm like, hey man, later I'm out of here, and I was.
That was like a beat comedy movie right there. Like,
yeah, no shit. You could just fucking set that whole thing up.
It was actually hilarious because...
Steel, roll credits.
Yeah, just done. Yeah, it was like, he was just looking at me, he was like, my God, man, you drank a fucking double scotch and you're 16 years old, like, what the fuck, you balls of steel, you son of a bitch, right? But it was funny as shit. Like, I love Canada for that reason. Like, I have gotten away with stuff that there's no, I should be dead.
Which is why I think, like, I've come to the conclusion this is why, like, it's such a pain in the ass for me to get into Canada, is because they just...
Guys like me ruin it for you.
Yeah, they set up policies where they're just like, people like you can't get into Canada because it wouldn't be Canada anymore.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Kevin, you and I should go to Canada and be wedding crafters. We'll film it. Oh, dude. It'll be a documentary.
Oh, I guarantee you right now, Polish Tamales is fiercely drying.
Drying this up.
me and Kevy crashing a wedding, but the wedding isn't a normal wedding. It's like for two hermaphrodites, and they've got like dildos for cakes and stuff. I know he's like doing.
Yeah, Polish has to put his touch on it.
He's got to touch it, right? In the most inappropriate places as well.
Yeah, the most inappropriate way.
Oh man! So
David's the piano player. Fucking everybody's got a part in this movie.
David's the classical pianist.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah, I do try. I am not LSB, but I do have a pun occasionally.
Speaking of fucking stories, and while we have David on here,
yes,
there was this one time.
Just because that one time.
There was this one time David ended up no goddamn shoes on.
The first time I played Booze Cube?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, you should probably tell this story, because you probably tell it better.
All right, so I had never been over to Kevin's before this night. I had never played Booze Cube before this night. I think I'd heard of it once, but Kevin's like, hey, we should. You should come over and play Booze Cube. You know, I got my girlfriend's brother and whatnot over, and you should come and hang out. I was like, all right, well, I got nothing going on tonight. Let's go over there.
Now, David, you should interrupt one thing. This is something everyone in the heavy metal SVU, and actually in all people in general, you never, ever, if you've never played Booze Cube, you never, ever break your virginity with Kevin Metal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
wrong person.
It's just, your first time's going to be rough anyway, especially if you're not an alcoholic. So I go over and you know, it starts out, it's fine. We're just talking, you know, playing magic, whatever. They're like, all right, well, we're going to start now. So we got to do the pregame shot. I'm like, well, shit, this is already serious. All right. So we take a shot. I don't remember.
It was house like rules, weird, by the way. Cinnamon
whiskey shit that he had because he's an alcoholic and he drank everything else. I don't know. we take that. I'm fine. So we start Winston drafting this Booze Cube, and it was just the three of us that night, right? It was just you,
I think,
and
it was just the three of us.
Yeah. So I'd never played this. I don't know what any of this shit does. I'm like looking at it. I was like, well, that seems strong. And they were nice enough to tell me, like, take removal and the double lands as if you see them, just take it. Because, like, removal is not very, you know, there's not very much removal in it. I was like, all right, fine. So I start drafting. I can't remember what the fuck I drafted, like what colors I played. Like, I remember I played white, and then they're like, yeah, white's not very good. But
I saw John Belushi on the card. I was like, fuck it, let's do this. So we play. I don't remember how I lost. I think I killed somebody and then was killed in return. I didn't win, but I was freaking hammered. And I was sober enough to go, well, I can't drive, but I want to go home and fuck. Like, I'm going to get some. And if I remember right, I was going to be in a threesome that night. And so, like, I really, that
David
was.
David is better at threesomes than I am. Let me throw that in there.
So I had a drive to get home.
You there?
Yeah, no. He blew up his brain.
I put my shoes on. I put my flip-flops on and grabbed the railing because I'm going to fall down these stairs and die. So I'm gripping the railing and walking down. I don't remember anything else after that until 8 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and I was on my girlfriend's porch and I had no shoes. My feet were destroyed. They were just like black and bloody and it was terrible. And I was like, what the fuck happened? What? And then for a full minute, I was still trying to like recall where the hell I was last night. I was like, oh yeah, I was over at Kevin's, and I remember walking down the stairs. I don't remember anything after that. And I texted him like 3 hours later when I got like a power nap in. I was like, are my keys and my shoes there? And he's like, well, your keys are here. Like, fuck it, I knew it. So somewhere my $30 fucking Oakley flip-flops are in a desert somewhere, or some homeless guy that raped me and I can't remember it has them. But, yeah, that was my experience with Booze Cube, and like an idiot,
it was beautiful.
I sense.
Well, what's funny too is like I remember you saying something about you, like your friend didn't like one of your other friends like text you and ask like or say something to you, and then you had to look back and see what happened, and you just were sending him random gibberish at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I'm the worst drunk texter ever. Like the first time I experienced it, I was in Vegas and I was fucked up with a couple friends. Well, I started texting my ex, and she apparently is fluent in drunk because I was texting her like Nor I Slew on Car, HDTV, I Van Dream, and she was getting what the fuck I was saying out of context. Like, apparently my friend hooked up with a chick and now I was going to have to sleep in my car. That was what Nor I Slew on Car is. And then I was jokingly referring to maybe I'll get lucky with my other friend. And she said, be nice or something like that, or it's never going to happen. And so I was trying to say, hey, I can dream. And it came out HDTV Ivan Dream. And she got that somehow. But I am like the worst drunk texter ever, like plus autocorrect. And I seriously texted him like the weirdest shit ever. And I got like a text like at like 20 minutes after I sent him a string of like six gibberish texts. He was just like, well, apparently you're fucking drunk. I hope you make it home. it was a fun night. Yeah, it's good time.
It was like the first time I like hung out with David. I remember fucking meeting this dude, you know, at like our local game store playing pre-releases and stuff, and we got to the point where, you know, kind of being friends, bullshitting a little bit, and then I don't remember if that was before or after like we went to Vegas. Somewhere there's like the first time I had David come over to my house to come fucking drink and play Magic with us and have a good time. Hey, let's play some Booze Cube. I told him about it one time. He's a good Magic player. He'll be into it. He'll like it. And then, like, the next morning, it's like David disappeared. Because I'm pretty sure I passed out drunk in the middle of the game like I usually do.
You left. You went to bed. You're like, you died. I think you were the first to be killed. I think I killed you, and then Daniel and I had some weird interaction, and he beat me. And
I was just like, fuck this. I'm going to bed. Yeah, being the great host that I am, I'm like, thanks for coming over, man. Find your own fucking way out. And just crash the fuck out. And I wake up the next morning and Daniel's just like, yeah, David left. Like, he left his keys here, which is cool. But he went walking home. And now, like, walking home is not, like, down the street either. I mean, we don't live in a big town or anything. But, like, where you went walking to is what got to be at least fucking...
It was about 10 miles or something like that. Yeah, between 5 and 10 miles somewhere in there.
Yeah, through the desert, losing flip-flops. It's good stuff. And that's how I knew that we were friends.
Oh my god, that's
left my house hammered for a threesome. Like we're friends for life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You mean two vaginas? Fuck yeah, I'm going. Yeah. Flip flops or not.
Spoiler alert, that threesome did not happen that night.
You should have left it to the viewers. It was like, I don't know what happened. That's
hanging on the fucking thread.
Yeah, and I'm on the edge of their seat.
you would have just been known as the guy that, you're the man. Fucking Gumby's the man.
Well, if they want, like, to call me the man because I've had a threesome. I've had ones before that, and I've had ones after, but that night, it was
that one didn't happen.
That one was not
but
successful.
Hey, you made up for that lack of a threesome with a fucking top eight this past weekend. So
I did.
You're still flush. You're still even.
I'm golden. No, like, that was big for me. Like, I've been, like, I'm the best in my town, but, like, that's being, like, the smartest kid with Down syndrome. Like, you know, yep. It's not a big town, so.
I live in this town.
Yeah. It wasn't, like, that big of an accomplishment to be like, yeah, I beat, like, 10-year-olds all the time at F&M. You know, I'm fucking good. Like, but I know that I'm a good Magic player, but, like, I've been beaten down at these tournaments. Like, I remember I missed top eight at States 2 years ago because I made a fucking boneheaded mistake. And then the first PTQ I ever went to, I lost two rounds in a row to get out of top eight. There's just been a string of tournaments where I've been really close, like almost, I think, all but one Grand Prix. I've been one win away from being in day two. Like, a lot of things have just been like, yeah, like I'm close, but I don't make it. And so making top eight at this, you know, like 654-person tournament, like it made me feel good. It, like, you know, it reignited the fire to, like, be more competitive and try and succeed. So
no, was... I gotta say it was probably more exciting for me because I'm terrible at Magic. It was more exciting for me because I know you. Like, when you're just all, dude, I'm fucking kicking ass. I'm on a streak right now. I'm kicking ass. I'm like, oh! I was, like, so excited for you. Like, telling everybody on Twitter, I'm like, my friend's going to do really good at Magic. He's going to top eight. It's awesome because I'm never going to do that shit. So...
Well, you know, I still, and you know what, if people listen to this, like, comment on Twitter or whatever, because I've had an idea where, like, you know, these big sites like SCG, Channel Fireball, they do these playtesting videos. Like, I've been thinking about doing testing videos with Kevy and kind of like a mixture between testing the different decks in the format and then also trying to, like,
teach Kevy how to play
to play tournament Magic, like competitive level Magic. So if you guys like that idea, like, tweet me or you know.
Hell yeah.
Do something. Like, if you like that idea, we'll do it.
You see, David, everybody loves to see someone train a monkey. I mean,
exactly.
If you can do it, it's just it's like, wow, that's
nice. Well, you know, if you guys like that, like, win or lose, you're going to see somebody shit in their hand and throw it at the camera, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Thumbs up this idea.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
Well, I mean, if you're going that far, then you got my vote. That I just have to.
Yeah, if there's going to be shit and a camera, I'm into it.
Yeah, exactly. you know, oh, fuck, I can't believe I forgot this. Okay, so for all the SVU out there that have listened to the show, I had told a story, I don't know, I think this was way back. And I had just told it was a very quick side story about, remember the story about the midget? And,
wait, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, remember I punched the midget because he was.
Oh, like, yeah, your midget fight.
You punched a midget.
Yeah, well, it's a long story, but, the midget was wearing a wig and he was going on stage. And anyways, he was very feisty and he's probably drunk and he's pushing my buddy around and shit. And I was like, holy shit, he's attacking people. Like, fucking punch him. Anyways, I made the comment that, you know, midgets are not light. They're very dense, heavy things. And, like, they don't... Yeah, like, they're strong. I wasn't being derogatory. They're just like, holy shit. Anyways, I got an email.
They are a small pile of muscle.
Yeah, they are. They're like a pimp. They're like a pimple.
You should listen to Patton Oswalt talk about dwarfs. I think you guys could exchange notes. Beat them over the head with a stick. They turn into 20 gold coins or something.
Oh no, no. If you when you hit them, they get angry. Like they are not. They're not.
Everybody gets angry when you hit them.
No, no. Okay. Do you? If anyone
not is, midget angry.
No, no.
Yeah, not midget angry. That's a whole different story.
Listen to. Okay. I will. Okay. Now you're sidetracking me, but I have to interject. When you fight a normal person, and you know you hit them and they hit you back, there you know about the range at which their fists are and where they're about to land on you. But when you hit a midget, you are punching down onto usually the top of their head or their shoulder. And they don't, those blows glance off. Now, I will say this. When the midget goes to punch you, he's punching you in your junk.
In your junk.
And you have to block it. So the whole time you're fighting a midget, you're one-handed because you're blocking your junk. And that
it's like me trying to fight my 3-year-old.
And you're
longer than their legs.
But you're at a very serious disadvantage. Also, they have a head, and they can headbutt you, and it's usually a very big and grotesque-looking head. They are not an easy. A lot of people make the assumption that it's easy to fight a smaller person, and I will argue. No, I will argue.
Big and grotesque.
You know, nobody from Wizards is ever going to be on this podcast again.
Look,
powerbomb the shit out of a midget. I don't care what they're made out of. Fucking lead midget, I will beat the shit out of a lead midget. I don't care. Don't try and, like, defend yourself that you got your ass kicked by a midget.
No, I didn't. Look, here's the thing.
Oh my God, I'm gonna pee my pants right
now. You're making this. Okay, you're turning this into a debauchery. It wasn't meant to be derogatory. I'm being serious.
It's a giant grotesque head. You fucking did.
They have large heads. Anyways, the whole thing is, if they ever get you on the ground, you're dead because that's their territory. But
yeah, I turned it into a debauchery.
Oh, I can't believe my face hurts.
Anyways, the whole
just stop.
No, I didn't want this to go here, and it's making me look like I hate midgets or something.
The ground they live.
I have a lot of midget friends.
Some of my best friends are midgets.
I do not distinguish against short people. Anyways,
now he's backpedaling. Now they're short people.
Oh, midgets don't like to be called midgets either. They get furious.
Little people.
No, don't call them little people. They're vertically challenged. But so, anyways, the whole point of what I was trying to say is I'd gotten an email, and now I see why I got this email. But I got an email from a little person that was fucking hates us. I know, Kev. So
this one.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah. Again, don't. I can't edit this out because it's pretty funny. But I will just say that I will.
Comedy wins overall.
If I could insert a warning to any little people before this happens, just kind of jump over this whole mark. But he wrote this very nasty email. I just want to respond to it. And he said I was insensitive and I described the situation incorrectly. And I was like, well, I don't know who you are, but if you were the person that I was fighting with, then what do you mean it was incorrect? I pretty much described it dead on. You were drunk and you attacked us and we fought back. And I tried to break a stick over your head, but anyways, he goes on to say that that Heavy Meta is we are a bunch of drunken morons, and I believe that he's to you, Kevy.
Yep.
We are drunken morons that don't know anything about anything, which I don't even believe that's correct. You can't say that. But that he says that magic is better off with us dead. So I'm like, that's the first evil.
It's a bold statement.
Yeah.
So basically he's just previewing for you guys like the season 3 premiere, or like the year 3 premiere is like Kevy died. Because he's an alcoholic, and that's what happens when you drink a lot. Like, your organs fail.
I will promise everyone this, that if Kevy goes, I will replace him with a midget. Is that fair? is that fair enough? Well, like, to make
you're
going to
get assassinated by the Lollipop Guild for this episode.
Oh, dude, I can't wait to hear, like, right in the middle of the episode, it just cuts, and Maddie's very serious. He's like, face-to-face games. would like to stress that the views and comments of this podcast do not reflect the views of face-to-face games.
Oh, my God.
Or manadeprived.com or Moto Academy. I just made sure all three of our sponsors are involved in this conversation.
You guys just need to put a sign up saying you need to be taller than this to listen to this podcast, and then you won't have any complaints.
You know, I am going to, you know, but now, see, you scare me, because what you've done now is if I'm in a convention anywhere, or I'm in a show and it's crowded, and, you know, you're like, you're shoulder to shoulder, one of those midgets could just sneak up and fucking, you know, cut my junk off or punch me.
They're going to hit you. They're not going to hit me. I didn't call them grotesque headed, dense little things.
I believe the quote that he didn't like the most was that I called them dense meat sacks.
Yeah, that's... How dare you not like that?
But hey, all it is, like, this is just fair warning. If you're ever at a fucking event, you're wearing a heavy meta shirt, then just wear a cup.
All I know is this. Of all the heavy meta shirts we've sold, there are very many XXX, but there are never XS's. So if we sell it as super smalls, I will do you a favor. If anyone that is a vertically challenged issues, if you love our show, I will make you a t-shirt, a one-off, that says, like, I'm small, but I'm...
Just like the heavy metal lollipop guild?
Polish needs to draw you just beating the shit out of a midget, like, with a stick.
No, because I did. He was okay. You know what? Now you're making me look like I abuse midgets. He was violent, and he was drunk. And
he was violent.
Yeah, it's okay. If it was not a midget, it was just a person, you'd be like, man, you guys survived like this drunk rage attack, and you guys were behind stage, and the fucking guy attacked you. Like, he was freaking out. Don't pull my hair. Don't pull my hair. But it's a midget. It's funny. You're like, why is that?
Because it's a midget. You punched a midget and hit him with a stick. Not funny about that.
I'll tell you this, and this is a straight up compliment to all midgets. Don't take this any other way. I punch a lot of people, but I've never punched anyone that dense. That's like punching the Hulk, man. No, it's not an insult. It's so, they're so tight, like they're packed, man. Like, it's like, okay, you know Rocky?
They're Pac-Man!
No, you know Rocky, you know Rocky when he's punching those, like, cow sides? That's what it's like. It's like fucking solid beef, man. The guy, I don't know why, he was dressed as a woman or something, so I don't understand why that made no sense, but maybe I get it.
All that really happened is Maddie went out, he had his first, like, his first flirt with absinthe, and he beat the piss out of an 8-year-old girl. Uh-huh. And this really takes him out of it.
With giganticism, right? She was like, yes, there for the thing, though. You know what's funny,
just
though?
Like, I swear, it was a midget dressed as a woman, and fuck, he was dense.
The truth is, though, that now that I think about it, I'm like, I was always under the assumption that it was a guy dressed up like a girl. I hope I didn't punch a girl midget, because that's horrible.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I didn't, because he was ferocious. I don't think of...
Girls can't be ferocious?
Yeah, we all know women can be ferocious.
Not one of us.
I'm going to laugh my ass off if you beat the shit out of female midget.
Well, if I get another email, then I will read it on air again.
Oh, God. I hope.
It's basically explaining.
I hope.
You know what? The wizard, the heavy metal PR department is just like listening to this right now, shaking their heads like, how do we edit this to save the fucking face of the
can't.
No, this time.
Hey, we had this guy, David Moline, and we had this guy, Polish Tamales, on the cast tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
But you know, the one thing the midget didn't say.
Well, we gotta get shout outs first.
No,
fuck what the midget said.
It's all over his head anyway.
You fucking bastard.
This is yet another reason why I realized, like, David is one of the fucking best people ever. Is like the ride to Vegas and the ride back from Vegas were literally this the whole fucking
time. Man, I feel bad for flying. I missed out on stuff.
Oh, dude, it was terrible. Like, I was, I got to know this guy. I'm like, he's pretty cool, you know. But before you actually, like, hang out and spend some time with somebody, you don't really know if they're actually cool or if they just seem cool. It's like meeting people on the internet kind of shit. But hanging out with David, I was just all, dude, you're so my type of people. This is fucking great. So, yeah. Anyway, David.
That's a good time.
Good time.
That was the fastest drive ever. Like, we got to Vegas, I was like, that was like 1 hour, right? We didn't shut up. Like, Kevin and I, we just talked. Not even to each other, just talked.
Kind of talked over each other.
We just talked to ourselves.
Just talked to ourselves, to the window.
Rambling and fucking, and then we'd be like, finally connect back together, like, hey man, you want to stop, take a leak, you know, grab something to eat? Sounds good. And then we'd start talking to ourselves again.
Man,
bad for the people.
I gotta give David, he's a fucking trooper, because so we go to Vegas and David fucking drops out about the same time I dropped out, but it was David dropped out because his pool sucked. I dropped out because I was drunk. And then David proceeds to just tear down the fucking, like, Winnabox fucking drafts. And so we find out that for David to win more boxes, like, the fucking championship Winnabox draft is the last event that they're having on Sunday. Now, David has to work back here in Ridgecrest. And what was it? You had to get up for work at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning or something?
Yeah, work at 5.
Be at work at 5 in the morning. And we're in Vegas, which is, you know, supposed to be 4 hours away. I don't think it took us that long to get there or back.
That long.
But, like, we're in Vegas and we're sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting because, like, they're just trying to finally get this fucking event to fire. Luckily, everybody that was in the fucking, like, top 8 fucking Winnabox fucking draft thing decided to just go ahead and, like, once they got everybody together, they all agreed on prize splitting because the judges were like, I'm exhausted. I'm sure you guys are too. You guys want to keep playing Magic, or you guys want to just split the fucking prize? So,
you guys want 2 boxes of Modern Masters each? Okay, go.
Exactly. Like, you guys each just want 2 boxes of Modern Masters? Fucking done. So we split to the parking lot. Of course, open the box. Because why would you not do that? And then fucking proceed to beeline home. And I'm like, oh, dude, I'm done. Like, I've been fucking wrecked this whole weekend. I'm going to sleep the whole fucking way home. David has no idea. No, we just had a conversation until we got to Ridgecrest. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, that wasn't bad. Now, I have to go to bed and get up and be to work by 8 in the morning. But you have to get up by 5. I fucking did it. He's the fucking champion.
Yeah, that shit sucked. I don't remember that day very much. I think I had 3 hours of sleep, and then I just went to work in a zombified state and stared at my computer screen and pressed buttons.
That's what
they paid me, so I won. I won.
Yeah, you won.
I won that round.
Hashtag winning.
Yep. Yeah.
So what are the shout-outs you got, Kevin?
You got any shout-outs?
I want to shout-out to all the midgets listening.
Thank you.
I want to apologize for our Canadian counterpart.
We're going to put up the fucking, the you must be this tall to listen to this podcast.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, then I retract that statement. Fuck those little guys. Or girls.
Yeah, you can't sexual discriminate there.
Fucking, you punched them.
I was under threat of death. I thought I was going to die.
There was no discrimination either, like, in punching him. He's like, girl, guy, I don't give a shit. I don't care if you're a midget guy dressed as a girl. Midget girl dressed as a girl. I don't give a shit. I'm going to punch you square in the mouth.
The threat of a junk punch, you get beat in the head with a stick.
Yeah.
Oh, I was punched in the thigh. I smelled like whiskey and rye. Like, it was like a drunk. It was like some fucked up, like, your, you know, Uncle fucking Teddy the midget is like about to rape you kind of like feel. It was fucking weird.
Teddy, stop! Your Uncle Teddy the midget's gonna rape you. We don't need to get yourself into
now
this.
I understand your hatred for little people.
I want to shout out fucking midgets. I love you guys, man. I love you guys.
I love you guys.
Oh,
my God.
My love for you is as dense as you are.
All I
as
giant and grotesque as your head.
Oh my god, I'm gonna cry. I'm sobering up because for the last fucking 45 minutes I haven't been able to take a drink for fear of spitting it all over my computer.
Oh my god, I'm hurting right now, but their eyes, I don't even know why I'm saying this.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, hey, Heavy Meta SVU, you're fucking welcome. This is our 1 year fucking anniversary show.
But their eyes are down lower on their
Oh, weird.
That's the honest episode.
They're, look, all I know is they're fearsome.
It's coming up. It's not even a deep-seated like hatred or anything like that. It's a deep-seated fear.
I'll tell you. After that time, I am scared. I'm a little shy. I wince. There's times, man. I walk by a midget. I might like sidestep. I might walk the other side of the street. I don't know what's coming at me.
They think you're an asshole because you purposely cross the street when they're coming down the road. They just think you're an asshole, but it's because you've actually had to do combat with one before.
You know what? It's like that Star Trek episode where Worf fought the other series. Like, once you fight them, you have respect for them because, like, they're fearsome little critters. Critters, like... They are! Like, look, I'm not going to keep going on this because this is way too bad, yeah, but...
Either this episode is going to outdo the fuck cheeseburger episode for funniest fucking episode that ever happened, or we're going to get canceled.
Let's not discount that. That's viable.
Hey, if we're going to go out, then we go out with a fucking bang. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm fucking saying.
From a midget.
Yeah, I always thought we were gonna go out because I caught myself on fire and didn't make it through it, or I died of fucking just ridiculous fucking organ failure. But when we actually go out, it's because Maddie's deep seated fear slash hatred of small people.
See, it's not small people. I like small people that are proportioned correctly, but when you have that giganticism in a small frame, it's that proportion of large hands and like a head, but their eyes are so low that when you hit them, your fist bounces, like it glances off. Like, you know when boxers put Vaseline on their faces? That's what it's like.
They just naturally have that.
Oh my god, if you're shaped normally and you're just small, you're okay, but if you are made out of lead and you have a giant grotesque head, you are off Maddie's list. Don't.
Didn't you know that midgets secrete a natural lubricant?
A natural ass. The glance blows off their forehead.
That's why they wrestle.
Giant grotesque heads.
Why do you think they excel at wrestling?
Oh my god!
Well, I gotta say, my face has not hurt this bad on a fucking podcast ever.
Okay.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, Polish, do you have anybody to shout out?
If there's a city, Kevin, that is full of midgets, yeah. Where would they live?
I think at this point we've just got to pull the trigger.
What would you say to a city full of midgets, Kevin?
Please don't hurt Maddie, San Diego!
I have to say, I have a cramp in my stomach right now.
Now, don't get short with me.
You know what, David? I've had a short fuse with you all night. If you keep this up, buddy, you are on my short list. We're never coming back.
He's like, literally, like he can't deal with like two of me at the same time.
Oh, I'm sweating. I'm sweating.
Like oh my god, I seriously haven't laughed like that in fucking forever.
So fucked up. The moment of it was so fucked up.
You know the sad truth of it? It's true. It's all real. Like, that's... I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm telling you the truth. And you guys are making fun of me and making it sound like I hate ninjas, but that's the truth.
Did you just say I hate ninjas?
It's just the transvestite midgets with the fucking grotesque lead heads that he hates. Everybody else is fine.
Yeah, it's true. The big... It just doesn't look right with the big feet. And it's like if you've seen Willow... It's that, those things.
Willow,
those fucking things. Oh god, that's a nightmare. If you, I am scared and I have deep-seated fear, it would be one of those attacking me. Oh god, you give them magic? I wouldn't fuck with that. You give them the power of magic. And I
oh my god.
I can't even say anything.
I can't see the screen. I'm crying.
You know what's the... I believe we've hit a first. That Kevy is speechless. Polish tamales can't draw right now. He stopped drawing. And David is seriously questioning his friendship with Kevy and his appearance on the show. And I am trying vehemently to defend my credibility at this point.
Fresh off my top 8 of SCG, I get banned for magic for fucking discrimination of little people.
Yeah, you know what's hilarious? How does Owen Tweetenwald and his buddy getting shit for tweeting a picture of people, and yet we're allowed to podcast?
We're allowed to do whatever the fuck we want.
That guy does not talk. He just doesn't.
So he's a... Yeah, we're... How tall is he?
He's not very tall. He's kind of frumpy. He was alright.
Well, but the question is he dense as lead?
No, he doesn't have a large, large head. I don't think he's a midget. I think he's a few inches taller than that. I think he's about the average height of a woman. Like, God, I'm burning bridges. I've only played this guy once. He was a nice guy. He just wouldn't talk. Like, I tried to ask him about stuff, and he was just like, yeah, no.
Well, gentlemen, this has been enlightening, to say the least. I don't know why I pay therapy bills when I have you guys. Exactly. Just work out all my issues with.
That's what we're here for. We're here to stem your therapy bills.
Heavy, I'm pretending I can't touch you anymore.
Yeah, heavy metatherapy. Yeah, every weeknight at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. EST sharp.
That's right.
Oh, man. All right, guys.
That was fucking hilarious.
Oh. world.